So the Morin Ayin speaks a lot in this week's parasha about the pasuk Vavraham Zaken Bo Bayomim Vashem Beirachas Avraham Bakol. So first the Morin Ayin speaks about the first part of the pasuk Vavraham Zaken Bo Bayomim. We're on page Sam of Dalit in the Morin Ayin, and the Gemara tells us in Bo Metziah Pei Zayin that Ad Avraham Lahavi Zikna. Before Avram's time, there was no zikna, there was no old age in the world. Everybody looked young. Very interesting thing. There was no old age. You didn't have to buy anti-wrinkle cream. There was no zikna in the world until Avram. However, Mora says, eventually, Avram and Yitzhak looked alike, because Yitzhak looked like his father. And Avram didn't get old, his beard didn't get white, his face didn't get wrinkled. So Avram felt that wasn't so good, that people are not knowing the difference between him and Yitzchak. So therefore, he asked the Rabbanu Shlalom that there should be Zikna. Is Hashem made him old? So, obviously, says the Morin Ayin, there has to be a deeper understanding of this. What does it mean that, it sounds pretty trivial, but Avram said, you know, they're not giving me enough covet, because they treat me like Yitzchak, so I want to have old age. What does that mean? So the Morin Ayin explains what that means is that Zikna represents Midos, special spiritual attributes that Avram acquired. And in particular, he says, it refers to the Yud Gimel Tikune Dikna. He says, he spoke about this matter a few times before, that in Zohar HaKadosh, there's a concept that the 13 attributes of mercy of Hashem are called the 13 strands of God's beard. You know, lahavdil, elef, alfe, milyoni, havdalis, you know, the goyim, they swear by the beard of the prophet. I think the Muslims do that. But the beard of the prophet is no kedusha by us. The beard of the Rabbanu Shalom, there's something called the Yud Gimel Tikune Dikna. In Aramaic, the Dalit and the Zion interchange. So there are 13 channels represented by 13 braids of God's beard. And they correspond to the 13 Yud Gimel Midas Arachim, Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rachim, Vachanan, so we have the 13 Yilmishal Rachman, and they are expressed as being 13 braids of God's beard. And what it means is that God did not reveal his mercy in the world until Avram. Because God can only reveal himself when there's somebody worth revealing himself to. So just like you don't think that I would give the shiur if you guys weren't here. If nobody was here, I don't give a shiur. Because nobody to talk to. And if there's just one person here, I might give the shiur, but it'd be very schwach. Depending, of course, who it is. If it's the Cheskelosh Levi Coleman, then perhaps he shuckle can make it 20 people. So maybe I would give the shiur good. But one thing to sure, when I see over 10 people in the shiur, I'm really encouraged to give more. Because based on the vessel, that's how much I give out. The vessel extracts the abundance from the source. So when the vessels are here, the source gives out. So like Rashi says by Odom Rishon, that God didn't send the rain till the sixth day when Adam Rishon was born, or created, I should say, because God only sends rain when there's somebody there to appreciate it. Till Adam Rishon was there to appreciate the rain, it didn't rain. Famous Rashi, nothing grew till the sixth day. Even though it says that Hashem created the grass on the third day, the grass was actually under the surface of the ground. It didn't come out because there was no one there to appreciate. The only way grass comes out was rains. And God did not send rain until Adam Rishon did appreciate it. Zog the Morin Ayin, the same idea is here. God did not bring mercy into the world, Rachmanis, Rachmim, until there was Avram Avinu that was there to appreciate it. Until Avram, no one appreciated it. Very interesting. God did not bring it till someone did to appreciate it. Now, so that's the pshat. V'Avraham Zok came to Abba Yaman. Zok the Gemara, until Avram's time, there was no Zikna in the world. Avram Avinu prayed there should be Zikna. And therefore Hashem sent Zikna. Says, "Why not? What does Zikna mean? Zikna really means not zokain elderliness. It does not mean a geriatric position. Moynab says that Zikna means the beard, the zokon. It's not zokain, but zokon. God's beard does not reveal to the world. Because God's beard is the 13 points of Midas Arachman. And Avraham Avinu was the first person who could appreciate that. And no one else appreciated that. So therefore, it didn't appear in the world. Very interesting point. Now, why does it mean that no one can appreciate God's Yudil Midas Arachman? And the answer is, my friends, and this is that he doesn't say it, but this is what it means. He actually does say it. I must say, he does say it. He says, because you can only appreciate something if you're willing to, you have to practice, develop as practice what you preach. And the Mor Naim says, and really the Tomer Dvar says even stronger, that we can only practice what we appreciate. And when we practice it, we appreciate it. Which means that a Jew who does not practice chesed doesn't understand what chesed is all about. And it's like, as Rav Elie Lapian, I just heard this mashal on my trip just now from Rav Matasio Solomon. It's a very gewaltige mashal from Rav Elie Lapian, which is mamash illustrates the Moronai. Imagine that somebody wins the lottery and he wins $10 million. And he goes ahead and he takes the $10 million. What does he do with it? He donates it to an orphanage, a yeshiva, a hospital, Chosis Kala, Yisayman, because it all the way at Stucker. So there was a fellow who heard about it, a very stingy fellow, heard about this, and he says, "That guy is nuts. He's out of his mind. He won $10 million and he gave it all away to Tzedakah? He's crazy." Another person who's a Baal Chesed hears about it. So Gedalia Levski hears about it. He says, "Wow, that is amazing. Wow, I wish I could do that. Boy, would I love to win the lottery also so I can give away $10 million to Tzedakah." So what's the difference between the first guy and the second guy? Chilukas Pashut. Because the first guy is a stingy, tight-wed, he doesn't give tzedakah like he should, he's not Baal Chesed, doesn't like people. So not only does he not like people and like tzedakah, he can't even appreciate it. Because he's so stingy, that even when he hears somebody else is generous, it irks him. He doesn't understand, he thinks the guy's out of his mind. It takes one to know one. But a person who's really about tzedakah himself, and here someone else gave away all the money. Wow. Because he understands what stuck is. He understands what chesed is. You hear the Gvaldi Gamashal? So, Rav Elie Lapian said it in regard to, again, this concept was brought down in the Sefer Taimer Devarim by Rav Moshe Cordovero. The same idea. That you can't know God till you act like God. First you have to act like God, and then you can appreciate what God does. If you don't act with chesed, you won't appreciate what God's chesed is. Now, you know, in other words, if someone asks Gedalia over here, tell me, do you appreciate God? Are you impressed by the Rabban Shalom? You didn't even think about him. You think about feelings. You think about the Rabban Shalom. What impressed you about the Rabban Shalom? If you be a Baal Chesed, you say, "I'm so impressed by Hashem's chesed. He's so good to people. What do I deserve? Hashem gave me beautiful eyesight. Hashem gave me a beautiful wife, beautiful children, gave me a house, gave me a practice, gave me a life, gave me feet, gave me fingers that are so gvaltic." If you, the more a person is a Baal Chesed, he appreciates Hashem's chesedim. But if you don't speak in that terminology, if that's not your sprach, if that's not the kind of things you think about, that's because if you're not a Baal Chesed yourself, you don't appreciate what God's chesed is. It takes one to know him. You can't really understand God till you act like God. It's a merit of gavort. The mushal is a gewaltige mushal. Think about it. Says the Morinayim, that's the Vort by Avram Avinu. There was no Zikna till Avram Avinu. You know why? Because Avram was the first real Baal Chesed in the world. He was the first real Baal Chesed. And we're going to learn a little later on, if we get the time, that the Kedushas Levi, our companion Sefer, Mamash Nivsi's Parashah says, by Richa's beautiful Vort, that the truth is that all the Chesed that's in the world today comes from Avram Avinu. It was Avram Avinu who opened up the reservoir of Chesed and Shemayim, the reservoir of compassion, the reservoir of empathy, the reservoir of care, came from Avram Avinu. There was no we take Chesed for granted. I'm sure, I hope everyone can look back on the day today and think about one act of Chesed you did today. Do you have any Chesed today? Okay, I'm proud of you. You do any Chesed today? Yeah? You might need to do some Chesed today? You sure now? Something really, you want to tell us about it? What chesed you did today? What? That, well, okay, fine. That's very nice of you. I hope it pays you back. The kids are, okay. Rav Nosson, you doing any chesed today? I don't want to put you in the spot like Chas V'Shalom. He's Yankees, it's a little bit difficult. The kids are, you should know, I'm sure you did chesed, and just a big, he still wants to cover it up. If you did chesed, it's not you. It is a legacy. You have Yerusha from your Zayda, from your Tata, Avram Avinu. The chesed we do today, it's all because Avram Avinu opened up the reservoir of chesed. Again, we take it for granted. Chesed, 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 chesed. There was no chesed in the world, no kindness, no compassion, no generosity, no mercy, no pity, no sharing, until Avraham Avinu came along and opened it all up. People didn't share. Noach didn't share. Amraphel didn't share. Nimrod didn't share. They didn't share. There's no chesedim. They didn't do it. But Timol Yitzchom, I mean, the more I'm telling it to you, I'm starting to appreciate the Vor myself a little better. There was no chesed. Kai and Hevel did not chesed. They were selfish, one to the other. Even Adam, they didn't have chesed. Chesed to your wife, if you called your wife up to say it worked, that's also chesed, you know? chesed yibana. Yeah, but that was, the truth is, that's a good point, but not really chesed.
It was commanded.
It was commanded, exactly. They were commanded to do that, and they had to do that. And it wasn't pure chesed. That was his ticket to get out of the teva, is to feed the animals. No tiki, no washi. The animals don't make it, Noah, you don't make it. We don't got two elephants coming out in the end, you're not coming out. You better bring out two elephants or else. So Noah was very motivated.
Pack your trunks and leave.
You're Baltic. Anyway. So, there was not chesed, it wasn't pure chesed. Real chesed is Avraham Avinu. He opened up shop, he had, and now I'm giving a report on my TED trip to Europe on Friday night, Mirtz Hashem. I hope you will come. 8 o'clock at the Roden Residence this Friday night. But I'll give you one preview. I'll tell you a very fascinating thing that we were in Lithuania, on the way to Telz, and we noticed, and the guide pointed out to us, that you could know the difference between a Jewish house and a Goyish house. You could tell which house is one's Jewish. There's old houses, you could tell. They're still there. The door. You tell me which is which. Some doors, the door is facing the street. And some doors, the door was on the side of the house facing the garden. And you came in through the side. Which is the Jewish house? Which is the Goyish house? Door in front, the door in the side? What? Says Dr. Feynman, what?
Side.
Says Yossel? Front. Why do you say front? Ah. And what do you say on the side?
Sneas.
What do you say?
Front sounds good.
Front sounds good for what reason?
Same
reason. What do you say? Okay, what do you say? Well, you know already. Okay, what do you say, Michael, Michael? The front. What do you say? Must be the front.
That's my reasoning.
That's your reasoning. Well, Joseph said it already. So that's the reasoning. The Jews had the doors on the front to make it easier for a guest to come, right up the street. Imagine a guy, either one on the side or in the back, so people should know how to get in. Like Avraham Avinu, four doors to his house, make it really easy access. Very interesting. Really, that's how it was. course, it's a little scary. So I saw quite a few houses with the door in front. I mean, those were all houses still from 60, 70, 80 years ago that they stole from the Jews. At any rate, that was the vart that the guy told us. So Avraham Avinu, he invented chesed. And he says, until Avraham Avinu, the world was tohu. The whole world was Dora Mabel, Dora Flaga, Anshi Sodom. I must confess, I never thought about this. I never realized it, that really the world had no chesed. And that's really the common denominator between the Dora Mabel's Chamas, that were stealing from each other. Not only were they giving, they were stealing. The Dora Flaga, they wanted to keep everything for themselves and keep God out of their lives even. They don't want to give anything to God. And Sodom is the ultimate not chesed. So the world's getting worse, not better. Nothing was more selfish than Sodom. So the Pasha is no chesed in the world because Avraham Avinu came. That's the idea. That's the pshat that there was no. And that's the pshat. Eila told us Shemayim Varetz, right? B'yoyim hi baram. The Pasuk says, this is the history of heaven and earth, right? B'hi baram. Reishis Beis, Pasuk Dalet. Eila told us Hashemayim Varetz, B'hi baram. And Chazal say, B'hi baram is Avraham. The letters of Avraham. And so told us Hashemayim Varetz, Rosh Tevis, it says in the Zohar, told us Hashemayim Varetz, Rosh Tevis, Tohu. Tohu means total chaos and confusion. B'hi baram is Avraham Avinu. His name backwards. Because originally Avraham himself was backwards. There was Tohu, the world was Tohuless, Hashemayim Varetz is Tohu. Everything's mixed up. It was Avram who unscrambled everything by doing chesed and put the world straight. The world was a world of confusion. There was no order in the world. I mean, there was no purpose to the world. A world without chesed is a world without God. Because God is all chesed. And only when there was an Avram Avinu did you have a manifestation and an actual physical demonstration of what it means to be godlike. There were no godlike people till Avram Avinu. He was an image of God. He gave you a glimpse of Hashem. Hibarom. Derech Agav, I'm not going to go Derech Agav, but the Maranayim says that this is really why Avraham Avinu, his name starts with Aleph Beis. Avram is Aleph Beis. The Torah starts with the letter Beis, not with Aleph. Why? That we know. Because originally the world, there's two ways the world is created. There's an Aleph Beis creation and there's a Tuf Shin Resh Kuf Tashrak creation. The letters of the Aleph Beis backwards. The world is created through the letters of the Aleph Beis. Which way? Aleph Beis or Tuf Shin Resh Kuf? So the Tuf Shin Resh Kuf is called the Aleph Beis of Midas Hadin. Aleph Beis is Midas HaRachman. The way we have it now is Midas HaRachman. So the reason why, the Archaim speaks about this too, the reason why the Torah starts off with that Beis of Bracious is because, how does that pasuk start? It starts from Beis and ends with a Tuf. Because till Avraham Avinu came around, the world was going in the Mahalach of Tuf till Beis. It never got to Aleph. If you start from Tuf, then you only get to the Beis, not to the Aleph. Because these letters are Tzimtzumim. The letter Aleph is Aleph stands for Elikim. Aluf Shalolam. Aleph stands for no boundaries, no restrictions, totally open. So, until Avram came to the world is Tayyav Avayu. Tayyav starts with a Tav. Until Avram comes to the world, it's he baram. All the letters are mixed up the wrong way. But the world had no chesed. And without chesed, then there's restrictions. Then the blessing can't come to the world. And Avram is Aleph Beis. Now the world can start with... He put the letter Aleph into the world, so to speak. He went beyond the Beis of Bracious. He went to the Aleph. The Aleph Beis is the alphabet of chesed. And in the middle of Chabad, Omar and I throws in a little commercial for giving Meiser. And he says, you know, Hashem sends the Shefa down to this world. Hashem sends the blessing down to this world. Anyone do me a favor, get the Shefa, please. Hashem sends a Shefa blessing down to the world. But we mess it up. So if you had any clogged pipes lately, any problems with your drains lately, thank you. You call Gary's gutter service to clean your gutters from all the leaves that get into it during the fall. Because if you have leaves in your gutters, the water is not going to flow out properly. Got to get rid of the leaves. Says the Maranayim, Hashem, on Rosh Hashanah, decrees for every one of us a lot of good things. The problem is that we put a lot of debris into the pipeline, and it never reaches us. All the water, all the shefa, all the good stuff, we messed it up. So, is there a Roto-Rooter service? Is there a spiritual Gary's gutter? Yes. The Roto-Rooter service to clean out the pipes and the sewers is Meiser. And he gives Meiser. Meiser literally says, cleans out the pipes. So if you yourself gooked up the pipes, I got them all stuck with all kinds of stuff that doesn't belong there, and you messed up your own shefa, there's one way to clean your pipes. Roto-Rooter them, put a snake in, you snake it out with Meiser. Meiser cleans it out. Okay, it's time to make a little peel over here. Anybody want to some collecting thanks for Mrs. Kala? If you want, I can see the toes on Yitzhak Rebbe soon. And one of those Gaboyim, a friend of mine, told me to collect Mrs. Kala. If you want to participate, if you're Meiser, I'll accept the money. So, getting back over here, so that's called Stima Satsinoiris. Uskulus a Meiser, Lahavar Adinim, Lahamdik Adinim, Achiaskinim Adinim, Vashbos Abroch Lamata, and it gets rid of the Stima Satsinoiris. The stuffing up. The obstacles in the pipeline get cleaned out by Meiser. In another shtickle, the Maranayim expands upon this idea of the 13 parts of the beard of God, which represent the 13 midos harachmim, and he says it a little differently. He says like this. He says, again, Avram Zaki and Boba Yamin, Vashem Beirachas Avram Bakol. So he brings down the Medrash. The Medrash says, if you did beloy pasach, Baruch Yinafshi is Hashem, Hashem Alakai Gadalta Moid, Hoid Vahad Lavashta. She in the Sadarta Vinis Labashta Hoid Vesinai Beshosh Shom Yisrael Nasa Vinishma. It's Gevalta Gevart. He says, this is Nupshat Nasa Vinishma, everybody said, but this Pshat is really what we're talking about. This is a very important Yisrael. He says that was Pshat Nasa Vinishma. Again, listen carefully. It says in the Torah, Mipnei Seva Tokum V'Hadarta Pnei Zakim. Torah says, stand up for an old man. V'Hadarta, give glory, give respect to a Zakim. So, he says that the glory of God is the Yudgim Yisrachma. And when we act with the Yudgim Yisrachma, we're giving glory to Hashem. Because Hashem is a total giver. Hashem just gives. And giving starts with your wife. Give her a hand. Help with the dishes. Take out the garbage. Pick up some laundry. Do her a favor when she's not looking. When she's not home. She didn't even ask you. You clean some dishes in the sink. Very difficult. Put a load in the laundry. Do something for your wife. That's where chesed really starts. When you do that, you're giving not only kavod to your own wife, you're giving kavod to God. Because you're going to bring more amunah in God. And why? Because your wife's not going to believe. She says, God, there's a miracle over here. But I believe in God. If my husband could clean a dish, there must be a God. I believe in miracles. Miracles, I've been praying for this for the last 25 years of our marriage. And it really happened. My husband actually cleaned up for it. He did something for me, unasked for, without nudging, without nagging. This is, I believe in God. Seriously, he's up there, he says, there's a person's beard, this is what he says. He says, well, the reason why we call the Yud Gimel Sarachmim corresponds to these Gimel strands of God's beard is because a beard is Hodor. Every Jewish man is supposed to have a beard on his face. Beards, we're supposed to be bearded. There's no such thing as no beards. A beard is natural. This is the Gemara says it's called Teferis Adam. And there's no heter. You have to have a beard. Shaving in any way, shape, or form is a big problem. At least you might be over on Lesilbish Gever Klishi, making yourself look like a feminine woman. So like a man, that's supposed to shave his armpits and shave his legs and shave his arms because it's feminine. What can be more feminine than having a baby face and having a beard in your face? For starters. Number two, electric shavers are a big problem. Al pi halacha, it might be a razor. Big problems. So, beards. Baruch Hashem, I see we're doing pretty well in beards here. That's it. You're the lone beardless figure here. It must be something you have to shear. Everyone has to shear. They must have beards.
Let it grow.
Let it grow. Now that's another subject. You let it grow. You're growing a beard? Yeah. What? God bless you. Wow. I picked the right night to talk about this. Well, more than I am beard. Need a longer beard though. Now it's got to get longer. So the beard is your teferis. Because your beard is the real you. You're being natural. That's all. Don't interfere with God. God gave you a beard. Let it grow. I mean, you can trim it a little bit to be neat. But let it grow. So a beard is called the hadar. Because hadar means that you're letting out your full potential. You're letting out your full self. There's hair inside your face. Let it grow. That's what God meant you to look like. Fine. So that's why it corresponds to give me a zerachman. Because if a Jew doesn't act kindly to other people and show love, if we don't get love out of ourselves to other people, love, mercy, compassion, empathy, sympathy, feelings for other people, not just give him something, love him with the giving, give him a hug. So if you give him with love, then you're really letting out your full potential, and that's your glory. So the beard is like a physical manifestation of letting out everything inside of me. And that represents the chesed, which is the core of every Jewish soul, because that's the essence of our being in God's image, which is to be like God, to be a giver. So that's where the growing of the beard, represents the yigam yisarach, which is personal growth. The personal growth is to grow in love and compassion and doing for others, giving of yourself to others. That's growth. So the beard represents physical growth. You see it in the beard most very clearly, how it's constantly growing. And spiritual growth is going to be a Sarachman. That's what he says. That's why it's called Haidu Had Levusha. But then he says that, and I'll conclude with this, he says, this is Pshat in Naseh V'Nishma. Remember what we said before? You hear this? The reason why the Yidin Arasinai said Naseh V'Nishma, you never knew Pshat. Naseh means we will do the Yidin Arasinai, we'll practice them, and then we'll be able to be Nishma. It's really, I never heard this really shot like this. Even without this word about the beard. Push it. You cannot hear what God's saying and appreciate what He's saying until you do it. You have to be nasif with nishma. In other words, Hashem is so remote from us. To comprehend God, it's not shy. Nishma will hear what God wants, what God's all about. Who are you to hear? How can I hear with my ears of flesh and blood? How can I possibly comprehend the Ratzon Hashem? The only way I can comprehend Ratzon Hashem is if I use my flesh and blood to first act like God. That story I told you before. When you act like God, you can understand God and appreciate God. If you don't act like God, you will not understand God. It has to be Naseh and then Nishma. Mary the Gevart says, pretty simple, but it's awesome. It's an awesome word that's profound. It's a little pshat, Naseh and Nishma. In order to be Nishma, you have to be Naseh first. It's not the pshat that they stomp said Naseh first without understanding. Usually the pshat that the godless of Naseh and Nishma was, they said, we'll do, even though they didn't know what they're getting into. God will do it. No. Naseh means literally, we're going to act like you, God, and when we act like you, we'll understand you. But until I act like you, I can't comprehend you. If I don't practice it, I can't appreciate it. I have to practice first. Naseh means practice what you're going to preach, what God wants to teach. What? That was a kakash, that's how God said. Who revealed this big secret to them? But the fact is, that's what they said. They understood somehow to say this was the right thing to do. They did the right thing. That Naseh and Nishma, without the Naseh, it can't be a Nishma.
Isn't Naseh
and
Nishma then the same thing? I mean, if you're doing
a
13
years
of Rachamim, then what's the Nishma?
First, you have to do it, then you won't even understand what God's mercy is about. You can't even comprehend mercy until you do it. You have to do it without comprehension. Not in this master, really appreciate what it means to understand it. You can't understand God. Till Avram came, no one understood God. They just didn't understand. Didn't understand them. And that's the pshat out of Avram. There's no zikna. Again, zikna represents the beard. The beard represents the glory of man. The glory of man represents growth. A beard grows, a man grows. How can a man grow? Only through the Gimel Zerachman. And by growing physically, how do I grow physically? By expanding myself to include other people. It's like the word of Shimon Shkop, that Chesed really means not that I'm giving away from myself. is that my sense of who I am has expanded to include you. That my good friend of here, Michael, is part of me. It's not that I'm giving to Michael. Michael is my, I have a right hand and a left hand. I'm not sure which one you are, my right and my left, but you're one of my hands. You're one of my hands. So I'm not giving anything away. Real chesed is my ego has expanded. And just like, the beard. The beard is me. What do you mean the beard is me? This is grape shot. You know, I almost davened when I was preparing the shiur tonight. I said, I'm not so well prepared because I don't understand this fully, but hopefully during the shiur, Hashem will reveal to me a real understanding. And I got it. I just got it. Rabbi said, I got it. Eureka. The reason why Rachman is compared to the beard is gewaltig. Ui, this is very good. I have to dance. Let me explain it to you first. Because a beard is easily, it's easy to see that the beard is not me. V'har raya, a lot of people cut their beards. So the beard is not me. But is the beard me? Well, on the one hand, the beard is not me, because you know, I can cut the beard. Try to cut my finger, I'll kill you. You try cutting my nose, I'm going to fight. Try cutting my head off, try chopping my ears off, I'm not going to be a happy camper. My grandchildren, they pull it all the time, and they're pulling me and tugging me. It hurts when you get to the root, because that's my flesh already, by the pore. But if you can cut the beard, if you can twist the beard, twist my arm, I can scream, ouch! If you twist my arm, I can twist my beard, I'll say, ouch, twist my beard. And I can even cut the beard off. So the beard is something which you can think is not really me, because it doesn't have the sensitivity, it doesn't feel like me, right? And I can get rid of it without any pain, any shame, any nothing. But is it me? Of course it's me. The beard is me. So that's why the beard represents chesed. The challenge of chesed is because chesed means I'm really linking up with somebody else. And real chesed means I'm making somebody else part of me. And I'm expanding my ego that I don't just think about me, I think about other people. And on the other hand, why is that a great thing? Because the fact is that you're not me. If I want, I give you, today I'm nice to Gedalia Lovsky, and tomorrow I get sick and tired of you, I'll throw you away. And I won't know the difference. I can just throw out of my life and I'd know the difference. I can just forget about you as he never existed. Just like my beard. I can cut the hairs off, where's the gold goes in the garbage. Just like my beard I can dump in the garbage, even though it was me, it's growing from my face, it's my pores, but if I want I can cut it off and forget about it. And you know, it can be replaced with some other hairs. There's new hairs coming. So I can give chesed to Gedalia today, and then tomorrow I just cut you off and I have no interest in you. And you know what? I can replace it with somebody else, like my beard. New hairs come all the time. What? Yeah, but it's not the same you. Yeah, it's not Gedalia Lovsky. The hairs are different hairs. You know, I get a new beneficiary of my kindness. That's why, but the glory is not to cut your beard. The glory is even I could cut my beard, and it wouldn't hurt me to cut my beard, and I can always replace the beard, and no, I'm not going to do that. So chesed really means to make, just like I should make my beard part of me. Even though it's easy to separate the beard from me, I shouldn't do that. I should let it grow and grow and grow and not cut it off. That's why chesed is the same thing. You can easily cut the guy out of your life. It wouldn't make a difference to me. I wouldn't feel it. I wouldn't feel the pain. He'll feel it. He'll feel he's thrown in the garbage. But I wouldn't feel the pain. That's not the way to go. So that's why the chesed is compared to a beard. Gewalt. Here, it's not gewalt. It's mamish gewaltic. Because chesed, by definition, is an optional thing. But if you do it right, you treat your chesed like you should treat your beard, even if you could cut it away, you won't do that. You let it keep on growing and growing and let it expand. That's why it's compared to a beard. Something here. Yeah. So that's essentially, again, there's more to the, again, my friends, you know that tomorrow night we can never do it justice, but I just want to conclude with a word or two from the Kedushas Levi. And if you're still awake, we'll give you some Kedushas Levi. Are you with me? First of all, the Kedushas Levi, I have a little flashback. In Paris Chai Sora, here in Likutim over here, the Kedushas Levi, I had underlined from a while ago, but I forgot it. I have an Alta Kasha, which I asked like a Gadolim, I never got a satisfactory answer, but I never saw anyone ask the question even. And he had the question and the answer, and that is as follows. This is in Parshas Lech Lecha, the Shtickle, in the Likutim in the back. And he asked my famous question. The Rebbe Yishlam is promising Avram everything, all kinds of stuff. Why in the world doesn't Avram, why doesn't God promise Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov? He said, I'm going to give you Eretz Yisrael. I'll make you all have a lot of kids. Why does he promise them they're going to give Torah to Klal Yisrael? What's the most precious thing? Torah. Can you imagine a rabbi getting up at a bar mitzvah today? Whether they invite me to speak or not, I'm going to be speaking by Menachem Schiller's bar mitzvah. One way or the other. That's it. Whether they like it or not. And I'm going to get up and I'm going to give a bracha to Menachem Schiller. Menachem Schiller, since you went there itself, your bar mitzvah, my bracha to you is that you should make aliyah. And you should own a big farm in Eretz Yisrael. And have lots of sheep in Eretz Yisrael. Have a lot of kids. Can you imagine Rabbi making such a bracha to a mitzvah bracha? You should make aliyah, have a big farm, big kibbutz, a lot of cows, a lot of kids. That's like a mitzvah bracha. So, I don't think that Mordechai Schiller, the Tata, was very happy to give that bracha to his son. He said, Rabbi, I thought you could say, oh, Menachem, you're such a great kid. You should grow up to be a goyin and learning. And it was a great pshat that you gave with your Menachem. You should grow up to be a big Talmud Chacham and a big Tzaddik. That's the kind of bracha you expect of me, right? Okay. So, it would sound strange if it would give the first bracha. So that's what the kind of bracha God gave to Avram. He said, Avram, by the Brit Mila, you know, I'm giving you Eretz Yisrael. You're going to make Aliyah. No one's going to uproot you from the Gaza Strip. It's yours. And you know, they like cows and goats and horses and sheep, a lot of servants and a lot of kids, like the stars of the sky. What happened to Torah? Torah Dicker. Why didn't God promise them the Torah? I'll take a question, no? So I've been looking for the answer to this question for many years now. And the Moran says, there's a shtickle pshat. He's, what? I don't know why I'm the Jewish lady says, there's a shtickle pshat. He says, Meredith Gipshat. He says, the Gemara itself, he asked the question, it's really Mechilta, that God said to Avram Avinu that the Yidnu be in Mitzrayim for 430 years. The Yitzhak, he said, 400 years. The Maizah, the Yidnu only Mitzrayim, how long? 210 years, Redu. And even there, they were only working 116 years they were working. That was really bad, only for 86 years. Only 86 years. So the problem is always, how do we make up for this gap? God said originally that there'd be an Eretz of 400, they said the 400 years, 430 years. From was 70, by the Brit Mila was 430 years. From Yitzhak's birth it was 400 years. But they weren't there for 430 years. So the answer, says the Moran Ayin, is that the mere fact that God told Avram Avinu that Yodoa Teda, that your kids will be in bondage, even though God, in the Chalami, the Jews are only Mitzrayim for 100, 210 years. But when Avram Avinu was so pained, was so wounded, so hurt by the fact that he even knew that his children would be slaves in a foreign land, and working with these Goyim, and being oppressed and bonded by the Goyim, so the tsar that Avram had was equal to their being there all those years. In other words, since 430 years, before they left Mitzrayim, Avram was told already they'd be in Mitzrayim. So the clock starts ticking from that moment because Avram is such a tsar. Avram is such a gewaltig tsar. Says the Kedushas Levi, if Avram had known that when left Mitzrayim, the beginning of the Torah in Har Sinai, he wouldn't have had any tsar. He said, you know, kids, the kindalach, it's worth it. It's a good deal. You got the better end of the deal. Had God told Avram that at the beginning of the Torah, here's worth, Mr. Kostner, here's pshat, that if God had told Avram that he gets the consolation prize, he would be so consoled that he wouldn't have felt bad at all, and therefore God could not have considered that the Jews were suffering from the time Avram was 70 years old, 430 years before they left, because he wouldn't be suffering. He'd be dancing for joy at the prospect that his children would get the Torah someday after 430 years. He would not have any pain, and therefore there would be no pain to make up for the missing years. You hear pshat? Is it a little bit more? I'm just telling you this way. His years would not have made up for the missing years. There's missing years. There's a gap of another 220 years. They were in Mitzrayim for 210. They're really supposed to be another 220 to make up like 430 altogether. So since Avram didn't know they get the Torah, that's such pain, that makes a difference. What? He knew Torah, but it was not the Torah of Mar Sinai. Had he known this, according to this, he did not know that they would be getting the Torah of Mar Sinai. What did he think? I don't know. But he didn't know that. God couldn't tell him about it. The question is a gewaltig question. This is a shtickle interesting answer, but it's still a shtak akasha. Why didn't Hashem tell the others they're going to get the Torah? Okay, that's his mouth. Now, there's another little shtickle here in the Likutim, which I got to tell you about. There was one last thing about Chesed, and we'll call it a night. And that is, I once heard this word from Yom Kamenetsky, and I see it here in the Kedush Levi. There's an old problem. Why do you call a ksuba a ksuba? Why do you call the marriage contract a ksuba? According to real Hebrew, the real name should be ksav. It's a ksav. It's a written document. Why is it called a ksuba? Should we call it ksav? So Rabbi Yaakov answered the following, but I'll tell you the answer. I'll tell you how the Kedush Levi says the exact same thing, just a little bit. He puts it in this week's parasha. In this week's parasha, it says, then the parasha says, Ulevnei ha-pilakshim nosan Avram matonis. Avram had pilakshim, he had concubines. Most famous of which is Keturah, right? Who is Hagar. Why is a concubine called a pelegesh? What does Rashi say? Rashi says, pelegesh really means a plagisha, half a wife. Try bringing one to your house, your wife, see how your wife appreciates this. He said, it's only half a wife, it's not a full wife. Okay. But what's the difference between an Isha and a Pelegesh, says Rashi? An Isha is with Kedusha and Ksuba. But a Pelegesh is with Kedusha without Ksuba. You hear it? Rashi, here's Rashi. A Pelegesh, you just say a Kedesh, it's leave, but there's no Ksuba. No marriage contract. No monetary or otherwise any responsibilities. It's a marriage without responsibilities. Dream marriage. That's what you call a plagisha, is half a wife. So that's ksuba. So a plagisha is half a wife. So, because no ksuba. So it says, the heliga kedushas levi, atayip shav gevaltik. Here's how it works. The kasha is, taka, why is it called ksuba? It should be called ksav. There's the gevaltik. But the Mara says, so the daf yudaled, that ish v'isha, shechina shuri b'neim. When you have a husband and wife living with great harmony, then the Shekhinah is there. Why? Because in the word Ish you have a Yud, and in Ish you have a Hey. So Yud and Hey together is Yud Hey. For 1 second, it's only half of God's name. Where do you get the other half of God's name? Vav Hey? The answer is, you have a Ksuba. Because you don't only have Kedushin. Ish Visha, you become a man and a wife together with Kedushin. But then you have a marriage contract. The marriage contract makes it a full marriage. That she's not a Pelegish. That she's a full wife. And ksuba has the extra letters, vav hey. So that's what's called a ksuba, not a ksav. Because the ksuba makes her a full wife, and a full wife has the full name of God there. Yud ke, yes, from Ish and Isha, and vav ke, you get from ksuba. In fact, it should be called ksav. The reason it's called a ksuba is because the vav and the hey are added now to God's name. You have a full marriage and the full name of God. But for Legish, it's just yah. It's yah. She says yah, whatever you want, yah. But regular wives don't say yo. they say name. Because they have a ksuba. If they pay good, they want to divorce them because it's very expensive to pay for that ksuba. But that's divorce. It's what Mamash Rabbi Yaakov says. Okay. One last thing, Chomishin Koyach, but just I told you about it before. I'll just mention it. And that is that the Kedushas Levi, in this Parashat Taka, explains the Chayasara, that when it says that it's a very deep word, it's deep character, and he says I'll say it very quickly. It says in the Pasuk Perek Chav Dalet Pasuk Yud Gimel. Eliezer is saying over what happened to him when he came to the well, and he says, he says like this: when I came to town, I said, "Vayoymar, Adonai Elohei Adonai Avram Hakrin Olafane Hayoim Vasei Chesed Adonai Avram. God, the God of my master Avram, do chesed with me. Do chesed with Avram. And what happened? Before I was finished speaking, out comes Rivka, Asher Yildu the Besul Ben Milka Ezel Nocher Avram, Vanara Tov Es Mara. Yes, and it says in the pasuk, Asher Yildu the Besul. She's Yildu the Besul. So the Chayre says the Kedush Levi. Why it says Asher Yildu the Besul with a kubutz? Those are three letters going in a diagonal. It would be more proper to say Asher Yildu the Besul. It should not say Asher Yulda. It should say Asher Nolda Libesuel. What does Yulda? Yulda is very strange. He says it's a strange grammatical form. Yulda. It should be either Nolda or Asher Yulda Milka Libesuel with a comat. Why is Asher Yulda? So he says, his word, he says Barichas, that Avram Avinu was the one who went to Shemayim and opened up the gates of Chesed. There was no Chesed in the world till Avram Avinu. And therefore he says that when Eliezer didn't stam ask to have a girl who was Baal Chesed. He said, I want to see a girl who is be so noticeable on her, the way she does Chesed, that I can see that she is a daughter, a derivative of Avram Avinu. That the chesed of Avram is so awesome that when he opened up the tap in Shemayim, not only did it flow down to him, or flow down to his tent, or flow down to his immediate followers, that the chesed spread out in the ganze welt, and if I go to a faraway place like Aram Narayim, where the people are the antithesis of Avram, and someone does chesed, I'll know that chesed is a derivative of Avram. And that's the pshat. When he davened, he said, do a chesed with Avram, a chesed that I can see comes right from Avram. And I'll see that his chesed already has arrived out here. And therefore he says, oh, before he's finished speaking, Yulda means she was only born physically to Besuel, but she wasn't really Besuel's daughter, because spiritually and emotionally, she was Avram's daughter. It was Avram who gave birth to the chesed in her. She was Yulda Lebesuel, means the kubitz, he says, it goes on the side. It's not, the kubitz, the three dots represent that she's far, like she's drifting away from him. She's far away from her father. She's really alien from her father, emotionally and intellectually. She's Yulda Lebesuel Mimilka, Achi Avram. But she comes from Avram, really. And that's why I said the puzzle before. He says, the girl who I asked to give me to drink. And she said, I'll give you camels. I saw her chachta la'avra liyitzur boy that yosisa chesed him adoni. You do chesed with Avram. In other words, I'll know the chesed comes from Avram, not with Avram, but from Avram. This is the essential word. So this works. Somewhat he said, "Okay, rabbis, we'll stop here. I'll do chesed with you and let you go, and have a wonderful week, and hope to see you. Hopefully."